Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Just sitting in the studio a few moments ago thinking about what an incredible privilege it is to be able to do the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And of course, so many of you listening to my voice right now have made that a possibility. Thinking about the testimonies that are so touching. As I was looking at some of the testimonies that have come in during 2015, one caught my eye in particular. It was from Meg, who said, "I listen to the Bible Answer Man 5 days a week. I'm a monthly contributor. Mr. Hanegraaff, the host of the broadcast, is one of the reasons I listen. I've learned so much from him. I've purchased a number of publications. I subscribe to the Christian Research Journal." And then she says, "Hank, the Christian Research Journal and other publications are the most real, non-sugar-coated, direct resources I have to help me mind the Bible for all it's worth. I have my questions answered through equip.org, and the staff at CRI is oh so helpful. May God continue to bless all of you." And of course, I'm sure she's talking about blessings for the coming year. We are approaching fast 2016. Obviously, 2015 was a year of titanic change. Think about marriage redefinition or terrorism hitting the home front with a vengeance or the sale of baby parts now made public for all to see. And what happened in 2015 will no doubt be eclipsed by what happened in 2016, but can be eclipsed in not only a negative way, but a positive way through the use of mass media, through the use of the internet technology. And once again, we pray that people will stand with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach as we seek to do God's work, not by might, nor by power, but by His Spirit. As always, a lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls, as the number to dial is numerically 888-275-4265, or just 888-ASK-HANK. Remember our information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI, right to Sabrina. She's listening in Butler, Missouri, KSCV. Hi, Sabrina.
Hey, how are you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thank you. God is good, definitely. And I thank you, Jesus. So, real quick question for you. How do I deal with, apparently there's something going around on the internet and a couple other places that the Bible is not real and Jesus is not real and all these things were made up and they have proof and they've gone over to over there where all that has happened and said, "See, this right here is this and this is that, and see, this isn't real and this is all made up." And I mean, it's really quite sad. So, but I need some help on how can I, you know, give the answers or in things of this nature.
Sure.
I've got four friends that have fallen for this lie after being in church for all their lives. So.
Yeah, and as you say, it is sad on the one hand. It is an opportunity on the other hand. What's really going on is a holdback from 19th century liberalism. There are no credible scholars today that hold to the position that Jesus Christ did not exist. And in fact, more and more scholars are not only conceding this kind of evidence to be completely credible, the probability so high as to be certain. Certain as with the death of Augustus in AD 14 or with the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. But on top of that, what's really cool is that with virtually every turn of the archaeologist's spade, we have more and more evidence for the places, the people, and even minute particulars that you find in the Word of God. So rather than the evidence becoming more convoluted or somehow or other more suspect, the evidence that has been supplied makes the historical Jesus more certain as the Bible is communicated to be more and more or found to be more and more correct. Talking about Jesus, what's cool about this is that you do not have to rely even on the Bible, because from external evidence provided by credible historians, I think of the Jewish Josephus who was writing to please the Romans, or the Roman Tacitus, or Suetonius, or Plinius, from those very credible early historians, it's possible to piece together highlights of Christ and New Testament Christianity completely apart from the internal biblical evidence itself. And you think about Josephus. He was actually born in AD 37, and so he was an eyewitness to many of the details and descriptions found in the New Testament and lived shortly after the time of Christ. So the notion that Christ was not a historical being or that the Bible is replete with fault is simply old thinking. It doesn't take into consideration all of the evidence that we have. So what's happened is the internet is regurgitating 19th century lies and sophistry, and people are falling for the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie.
Yeah, and it's unfortunately, it's targeted to African-American people, and it's just absolutely ridiculous and sad. But like I said, do you have some information that I could, you know?
Sure. You know, I wrote a whole book on this. It's called Has God Spoken? And in the book, there are memorable snapshots. So you can give people the information at a glance. If you want the details, you can read through the whole book. But at the end of every section, again, those memorable snapshots, just reading that information is enough to demonstrate that the Word of God is inviolate. It is something that is completely different from, let's say, the Quran, which has internal problems. It has faulty ethics. It has factual errors. Or the Book of Mormon, which through anthropology and archaeology has been utterly discredited in our time. Precisely the opposite is true with the Bible. Again, I write about this in Has God Spoken?
Has
God spoken? So I posed the question and answer that question in the affirmative.
Okay. All right. Well, how do I get that?
Oh, just hang on.
Okay.
Yeah, you can get it through the Ministry of Christian Research Institute.
Okay. Well, thank you, Hank. I really appreciate your time. And if you guys could do some more research on this particular diet, it would be great. I'd appreciate it because it seems like he's kind of growing strong and doing it quite rapidly. It's been about 3 months, and like I said, about four people have fallen by the wayside after being in church for all their lives.
Sure, be happy
to. It's really quite disgusting. I'll give the name to your people and that. So, thank you.
Thanks, Sabrina. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Archie, listening in Las Vegas, Nevada. NRB Television. Hi, Archie.
Hi, Hank. I was calling. I wanted to ask you a question about pleading the blood of Jesus. Is it biblical when it's used like in prayers?
Yeah, I think that one of the things we need to recognize is that there's not a magical efficacy in blood. When we talk about the blood, it is emblematic of the broken body shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the complete remission of sins. So I think rather than using it in a magical sense, we need to realize that there's a realistic sense in which every time we take the Lord's table, we are partaking of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus Christ said. This is my body, this is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. So the real presence of Christ is there, not as a magic potion, but a real dispensing of energy to the life of the believer. And this is not normal energy. This is uncreated energy. And of course, only God is uncreated. He is unknowable in his essence, but he is knowable in his energies, his graces, and ultimately the person and work of Jesus Christ.
All right, then. Thank you. Thank you, Hank.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. Talk to Stan next. He's listening in Kansas City, NRB Television. Hi, Stan.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Hank. My question was, and I'm no expert on the Book of Revelations, but I just wondered if, in your opinion, are we seeing the events that are leading up to Armageddon? I mean, I'd heard in Revelations that that Armageddon would begin in the Middle East and it would involve the United States and Russia and would be instigated by a Middle Eastern country. And I was just wondering, what your opinion was if we're seeing those events come to pass right now.
Well, I think that every single generation thinks that they are the terminal generation, because in every generation there are trials and tribulations. But no, the Book of Revelation does not implicate Russia. A lot of people think that it does because it's pointing back to Ezekiel. And when you read the word Rosh, that somehow or other is emblematic of Russia. But one needs to realize that Russia is an 11th century Viking word. So when people try to read back into that Russia, they're being anachronistic and certainly not credible or reliable. So what we have to realize is the context of the Book of Revelation. It is written to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. They're told to be faithful and fruitful. They'll suffer for a short time. Their vindication is going to be an eternal vindication. And therefore, we see not only in Revelation what's going to happen in the fore future, but what will happen in the final future. The principles of Revelation, therefore, being applicable to every generation. Again, the words of Jesus, in this world you'll have tribulation, but take heart. I've overcome the world. If you would have been around in 1922 or 1915 when Smyrna and the whole of Armenians were facing genocide, one of the most horrible of epochs in all of history. We tend to forget what happened in the recent past, less than a century ago. If we would have been living then, we would have said all of this portends Armageddon. Or if you had experienced a little while later, World War II, we would have said all of this portends Armageddon. If we would have been focused on what happened 9/11, we would have said this portends Armageddon. And in every case, there are prognosticators that will tell you that. But the Bible does not tell us when Jesus will appear a second time, but that he will appear a second time. And in the meantime, we're called to be faithful and fruitful, just like the early church was called to be the same.
Okay, I get it. Revelations is kind of mystifying to me. And, I want to understand it. I want to be able to know what's coming ahead. But, it's so hard to understand.
It doesn't tell you what is going to happen in the 21st century. What we know is that The one whose revelation it was holds the 21st century in his hand. So my point again is not that we're trying to prognosticate. All of the prophecy peddlers have one thing in common. They're 100% wrong 100% of the time. So we shouldn't engage in idle speculation, but I really very much appreciate your desire to understand Revelation. It's one of the most fantastic books to understand. And it's very understandable because what Revelation does is it recapitulates biblical history. 278 of the 404 verses are throwbacks in some sense to something that we've already read in Scripture. So what makes Revelation difficult is that it is a summation of the whole of Scripture. So to understand a part of Scripture, you have to understand the whole. To understand the whole, you have to understand the parts. But this takes work. It takes digging, and all of us should be digging in that gold mine, the Word of God. In fact, I hope a lot of you will make a New Year's resolution and say, this year I'm going to get the Word of God into me, and I'm going to get into the Word of God. Be right back with more answers.
Both at home and abroad, multitudes of Christians, due largely to limited biblical literacy and no understanding of apologetics, are being taken in by well-funded and aggressive cults. This Christmas, as we rejoice in the birth of the one who came that we might have eternal life, we invite you to stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank and the Christian Research Institute so that God's truth in Christ can be a brilliant beacon of light to those in spiritual and intellectual darkness. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. This then is the climax of divine revelation. God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute and host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions like Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources. To stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank Hanegraaff and CRI in equipping Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we return to our callers. Next up is Charlie listening in Charlotte, North Carolina, WCRU. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Hank, right down the road from you. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, likewise.
Hey, Hank, if you would let me, I just want to go over, and I don't know if you heard about this, I just real quickly, because I think it helps my point. The other day, there was a devil ceremony that was in Lansing, Michigan. It was real, and they were out there hailing Satan. And this goes to about the times we're in now, and we see, you know, Christians in restaurants afraid to say Merry Christmas, that type of thing. We actually had the Pope saying Jesus was a failure on the cross when he came to Philadelphia. Obama and the Pope.
Now, wait a minute. Jesus, the Pope said Jesus was a failure?
Yes, he did.
On the cross?
Yes, he did, sir. Yes, he did.
Now how do you, did you hear him say that yourself?
Yeah. As far, I mean, he was talking in Latin, I believe, but yeah, Hank.
But you understand Latin and you heard him say it?
What's that?
You understand Latin and you heard him say it, or did someone translate it for you? I mean, how do you know that's what he said?
Yeah, he translated it. Yes, sir.
So you're saying that there was a translator that was translating as you were listening to the Pope, and the translator was saying that the Pope was saying that Jesus Christ was a failure on the cross.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, when he came to Philadelphia. I mean, Hank, you could look this up, we have Obama and the Pope just this weekend and Queen Elizabeth stating, and this was on the UK press, that just enjoy this because this is going to be your last Christmas. And you know, before you look at me... Like,
wait a minute. Obama, just a sec. You're saying that Obama and the Pope said, enjoy this because this is going to be your last Christmas?
Yes, she did, and Queen Elizabeth did. Yes, sir. You can look it up.
Now, here's a couple of things. I have not heard of this, and let me say that I don't hear everything, but if something epic is going to happen in world history... And I read quite a few newspapers first thing every single morning around 5 o'clock. If something very epic is going to happen in world history, I would know about it. If I don't know about it, my research staff would know about it. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't things that escape our attention, but this kind of thing, highly unlikely. So all I'm trying to say is that I'd be very careful over public airways to make statements that cannot be backed up, because when that happens, we end up looking very, very silly.
I understand that as a Christian, and you know, that's why sometimes we have the falling back that we do. But you know, this Lansing, Michigan thing, granted it was on YouTube, but it's real. They showed the courthouse, everything there. And did you hear about the devil statue going up in Detroit and that being honored, and you know, people desecrating and having blood ceremonies? My point with this, though, Hank, is that we see in this coming age right now, and this is kind of goes back to your ABCs that you talk about. We're seeing a rise of this in our faces where we never seen this. And I have friends that, you know, are kind of like lukewarm Christians, and I'm trying to get across to them. I mean, have you seen the fish all, you know, dying with no, you know, and birds and the fowl? I mean, all this is coming true. And my question is, going back, how do we know? I know there's something in scriptures, but I can't find it, Hank, that there will be a close of probation. So for all these people that don't want to see this and this stuff happening, it is in our face right now. I mean, just with the refugees and nothing happening with the Christians and how you talk about the Islam rise, how do we know if it is it ever going to be too late?
Well, really, what we have to look at, I think, Charlie, is the reality that we are living in perilous times. I mentioned at the top of the show three things in particular. The selling of baby parts, horrendous. Terrorism coming back to the home front with a vengeance, the redefinition of marriage. And there are many other things that we could legitimately point out as great, great challenges to the historic Christian faith and even to the West in general. I think that we do, contra Hillary Clinton, we face a clash of civilizations. But here's the ultimate point. I think the ultimate point is not to be despondent or curse the darkness. It is to build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. Because the reason that paganism rears its ugly head and becomes dominant in a culture is because Christians fail or abdicate their responsibility to be salt and light. And that's what we have to redouble our efforts in doing, to be salt and to be light. Because as I've quoted many times from the words of our Lord, when the salt loses its saltiness, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. So the antidote becomes equipping ourselves, always being ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect, knowing what the Bible teaches and being able to defend biblical truth and really understanding how to read the Bible for all it's worth or mine it for all its wealth. And then with the equipping comes countering cults, world religions, whether it's Wicca or Satanism. By the way, a lot of people get confused between the two, don't even know that there's a difference, and they confabulate the two. I read this on internet hysteria blogs all the time. So really know what we're talking about. One of the things that Muslims tell me all the time when they listen to the program, I may disagree with you, but you know what we believe, and what you're communicating is correct.
Well, thank you, Hank, but I understand everything you're saying, and I think you did understand the question, and I thought I might lose you when I made those statements, but I'm just surprised how it's just so in your face now, and I know the Bible says at the end of times, it's really going to be in your face, and, you know, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, Isaiah 5:20, and I see all this coming, and I'm trying to get the people to realize this, my friends, and they're like, well, I'll wait until it happens, you know.
And well, yeah, and it's happening all around us, isn't it? I mean, it's a if we're not awake to the fact that we live in perilous times, and that it's time to get out of frolicking around in Christian Disney World and really be about the task that Christ has given us, be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. If we're unaware of that at this point, we are simply living in a cave.
Okay. Well, thank you, Hank, so much, and I appreciate you look that stuff up for me. I appreciate, because I'm telling you, some of that stuff is true, Hank. I know it sounds like conspiracy theory, but that's the times we live in now, and that was the point that I'm, you know, making. You think back in 1980 there would be a ceremony.
But Charlie, I'm not saying that what you said is not true. What I'm saying is that if the Pope actually said what you said he said, and Obama said what you said he said, I think I would be aware of it. And so if it is true, all I'm cautioning is to be very, very careful, because internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth can put its boots on. I do know that Pope Francis actually said in a homily that we can get caught up measuring the value of our apostolic works by the standards
right.
of efficiency and outward success, which governs the business world. And he went
right.
on to say something to the effect that the cross shows us a different way of measuring success. And if at times our efforts and works seem to fail and they produce little or no fruit, we need to remember that we are followers of Jesus and his life. And humanly speaking, There's a sense in which it looks like failure in the cross, but the failure in the cross is contextualized by the fact that while on the one hand, the cross is the most brutal of all events in history, on the other hand, it is also the most beautiful. I'm not an apologist for Pope Francis in any sense whatsoever, but certainly he understands the beauty as well as the brutality of the cross. It is an antinomy. On the one hand, a very, very grotesque event in history that looks like all has failed, all has ended. This is precisely how the disciples viewed it, but in the end, they saw the resurrected Christ and therefore were willing to face the tyrant's brandished steel, the lion's gory mane, the fires of a thousand deaths, because ultimately they too would be resurrected. And so I think the context is very important to give. I think this might be what you're thinking about, but again, what happens is there's the spin, you know, and bloggers get a hold of it, and then internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. It'd be very easy to do and has been done many times with what I say. If I leave an open-ended statement, assuming that the hearer or the reader will understand what I'm saying, it's dangerous because they can say, I said something. You know, I can say a lot of things, even from a biblical standpoint, if I only use part of the statement and I don't finish the statement, you know that the statement would sound very, very bad.
Okay, Hank, I appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time. I know you took a long time with me. I appreciate that. You have a good night.
You too, Charlie, and appreciate you calling and a wonderful conversation. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Joe in Overland Park, Kansas, KCCV. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a short preamble to a question, and then I'll hang up and let you answer.
Yeah.
I'm calling mainly about a question for the secular world, but mainly the young adults who are in college or has recently graduated from college. I witness to a lot of them, and a lot of them say that the Bible is old-fashioned and full of fairy tales. I want to know, how would you handle verses with them that say that his word does not change, that he's the first and the last, that that he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And also, tying into this, a lot of people are now choosing not to celebrate the birth of Christ, Christmas. And I think mainly because it's a pagan celebration.
Yeah, let me cut to the quick, because I only got a minute before we go to break. Good question. Simply say that it is true that Christmas had pagan origins, but those that celebrate Christmas are not celebrating paganism as Christians were celebrating the birth of Christ. I respect those that do not celebrate Christmas because of the paganism which has infiltrated Christianity once again. And so this is an honest difference of opinion and debate and a matter of conscience. As far as the Word of God never changing, being the same, yesterday, today, and forever, that is absolutely true. The new covenant is not different than the old covenant. It is the same covenant. The blood of Jesus Christ, as Hebrews puts it, is simply better than the blood of bulls and goats because one is a type, the other is the antitype that fulfills it. Again, I've written about this in some detail in my book, Has God Spoken? Wish I could give you a more elaborate answer, but I got 3 seconds and we're going to break. Back in a moment with more answers.
In our day, biblical literacy has plummeted to dangerous levels, such that many Christians embrace wildly distorted notions of the scriptures, from bizarre end-time predictions centering on 4 blood moons to health and wealth theologies. The Christian Research Institute is combating biblical illiteracy with resources accessible around the globe. To help CRI's efforts in equipping Christians to become biblically literate, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. Perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, The Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-Minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Apologetics, the defense of the faith, is a handmaiden of evangelism and a vital partner of discipleship. With it, the Christian can engage and graciously disarm the generally naive and caricatured objections of skeptics. Without it, one will be unable to withstand the rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. To enable the Christian Research Institute to continue producing quality apologetics resources, accessible worldwide, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And if I may, just a quick moment to remind those listening that as the Holy Spirit leads you, please consider praying for this ministry and giving. Year in giving is crucial as we want to not only end the calendar year in the black, but also be in a position to do those things that God has called this ministry to do. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. You need ladders to visions. And we have a vision to make a difference while there is yet time. It is not a human vision. It is a God-given vision. It is a vision that we have been about diligently not only in the area of apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, but also talking about what it means to experience life. The focus of our ministry is not just an intellectual head fake. It is to experience the resurrected Christ so that we might live the victorious, overcoming life. Anything you can do would be deeply appreciated. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultant standing by. You can talk directly to them at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Again, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. And for those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, be pleased to send you any one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mary, St. Louis, Missouri. Mary's listening on KSIV. Hi.
Hi. Hey, I've been reading Matthew, and I got into chapter 7, and I've read it before many times, but I'm kind of really trying to get in depth with it. But when I got into the part where Jesus said to not give what is holy to dogs and not throw your pearls before swine, I went down to my concordance so I could try to see what they meant by that, and all I got on the concordance was that dogs back in the day were considered scavengers and that pigs were considered unclean, which I'm trying to understand what he was trying to say there, because the first thing I thought was what he was saying, don't help people that don't want to be helped, but then I'm sure that's not what he meant. So what's your take on that?
Yeah, I think in context it is do not throw your pearls before pigs, because if you do, they'll trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. The dogs and swine, as you correctly point out, really refers to heathen people, unclean like the pigs and the scavenger dogs. These are people, including, by the way, Jews that Jesus Christ is addressing, who do not practice virtue. Remember that the Jews were called to be a light to the world, but instead of being a city on a hill, they oftentimes prostituted themselves, and in that sense, did not practice the virtues or preach the truth that they had been called to testify to. So they, as prostitutes, they became vile. And so there are various analogies or metaphors that are used in this case. The dogs so immersed in evil that they show no hope whatsoever of change. And the swine, those who habitually live immoral, who live impure lives. The pearls, again in the context here, are the inner mysteries of the Christian faith. And these include, in context, the very teachings that Jesus Christ gives to us in the Sermon on the Mount and the great sacraments of the Christian faith. These are holy things, but they're despised by those who are not willing to listen to truth, who are, in essence, those who have become detestable, because they have detested the very things that are sacred and sacramental.
So what does that mean to me as a person that, you know, if I want to, you know, I'm supposed to be spreading the word of Jesus to other people, how does that reflect upon me? How do I make that decision on who I need to share?
Well, sure.
With
them? And I think herein lies a very important question. I'm glad you articulated it. I don't think that we need to feel obligated to run around frantically throughout the world grabbing people by the lapels and saying, brother, are you saved? What we do need to do is become equipped Christians, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, so that those whose hearts are opened to truth can receive that truth. I've said this many times, but I think in context bears repeating once more. God dwells in enough obscurity, so if we don't want to find him, we will not, but in enough light so that if we do want to find him, we will. So those who despise the sacred things, we don't have to be those that shake them. We need to be those that are always ready, so when the heart turns towards the Lord, we can explain the things of God more clearly, as Priscilla did.
Can this also apply to like what we call the Easter, Christmas, churchgoers? How would this apply to them, as far as, are they really seeking God, or are they just doing it for, looks or whatever?
Yeah, I think what we have to be careful about is to, as Jesus says in the very context here, what's interesting is that in context, I'm talking about immediate context. Jesus says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And then he says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they'll trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. So I don't think that we have to be those who are judgmental, but we do have to be those who make a right judgment. And that right judgment is given to us because we are those who experience the quickening, the awakening power of the Spirit, who leads us and directs us. And so he gives us the opportunities to speak to those whose hearts are opened and to see the world realistically, as you have just done. There are a lot of people who go to church as a mere tradition. And Christianity is not about traditions. It is about a real experience with a very real and living Christ.
Okay. Well, thank you. That does clear up quite a bit.
Mary, thank you so much for your call as well.
Thank you. Have a great New Year's.
And you as well. Back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Stacy. She's listening in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Stacy.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. Nice talking to you.
Hey, it's so good to get a hold of you. I listen to you all the time. My question is, the verse in the Bible that talks about different gifts, like the gift of teaching, it also brings up the gift of prophecy. Now, do Christians still have that gift? Or can they have that gift?
Yes and no. Words are not univocal, they're equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. So there's a sense in which there are prophecies in the Bible that are made and then fulfilled. But there's also prophecy in the sense not of foretelling, but forthtelling. And what that means is, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we prophesy to encourage, to strengthen, to edify. There's a whole group of wonderful Christians in a recovery move of the Holy Spirit, in which they prophesy. And when they prophesy, they're not trying to predict the future, but what they're trying to do is share their portion with the body of Christ. They are sharing from their heart what the Holy Spirit gives them so that they can strengthen, edify, encourage, enrich the body of Christ. So it's not left to the hired gun, but everyone is speaking as God has given them a portion to share with the rest of the body.
Okay, that makes sense. That's something I can relate to and remember. So I appreciate it, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call, Stacy. We'll go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Ed, listening in Winters Springs, Florida, on the web. Hi, Ed.
How's it going, Hank?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, I have a quick question. I'm having trouble distinguishing between God, the loving Father, and God, the judge. I was looking at a video on YouTube of late comedian George Carlin. I'm not telling anybody to listen to George Carlin. I'm not really a fan of his, but he made a pretty good point in his video. He called it the invisible man who lives in the sky. But anyway, he made the statement, God is a special place full of fire, smoke, and burning, and torture, and anguish, where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry until the end of time. But he loves you.
Which he said ironically. Yeah, I've actually heard him say that. We have a clip of him saying that, actually. But here's the point. This is a caricature of Christianity. God has given people choice. If God didn't give people choice, heaven wouldn't be heaven. The righteous would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous would be incarcerated in heaven against their will, which is a torment that's worse than hell. So God is not a cosmic rapist. He doesn't force the George Carlins of the world into his loving presence for all eternity when they spurn his love in this life. He gives them precisely what they want. Now, again, he's caricaturing hell. Hell is not a place of torture. Hell is a place of torment. What is the torment? The torment is being absent the love and grace and goodness of God. So there are all kinds of metaphors that are used, and the fundamentalists on the left, just like the fundamentalists on the right, unfortunately take those metaphors and read them in a wooden literalistic fashion. Hell is a place that is horrible, but why is it horrible? It is horrible because we no longer have the very thing that we were created to have, and that is the Imago Dei, the image of God restored. In the unbeliever, it is substantially and systematically effaced and erased, as opposed to being restored. And that is, if you will, the hell of it. And this may be very much in concert with what we're talking about before. The metaphor is dogs and swine, but the idea is those who habitually live immoral, impure lives, and the mysteries of the Christian faith, including heaven and hell, are foreign to them, and they scoff at the very notion. But God has placed a knowledge of himself in the heart of every human. Out of here for today. We'll be right back tomorrow answering more questions.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. This then is the climax of divine revelation, God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation,
we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org.